We read again this week the same passage as last week. Likely we'll do it one more week after this as we look at different aspects of it. But we're in the Gospel of John, turning to chapter 10, verses 7 to 10. So again, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. We're taking a few weeks to look at this text. As much of John, it's so compact, so dense, if you will, so much in it, that sometimes we just stop and slow down for a little bit and try to unpack it a bit more than we often can do. Last week, we began this look, and we're looking at where Jesus says that he is the door for the sheep. I said last week that we use doors all the time, but we rarely stop to look at them and to notice them. But when we do, we find a very fascinating, they're fascinating things. We talked about that a bit last week, and we said we're going to take the time to stop now and to focus a little bit more on what Jesus says when he says, "I am the door," why he's saying that, what he means by it, and the application that it has for us continuing today. It's a claim that we saw last week is repeated. It's in verse 7, and it's again in verse 9. And it is a metaphor describing something about Jesus himself that he wants us to understand. A picture, a doorway, a passageway, a door itself, telling us something about himself. Last week, it was Bring a Friend Sunday, and knowing that some of you would have friends here who you were trying to reach with the gospel, we focused on one aspect of this that tells us that Jesus is the door for the sheep. He is the door for us. That is, if we want our souls to find rest and peace with God, if we want to live under the blessing of God, there is just one access point, one passageway to that knowledge and that blessedness of knowing God, and that is not found any longer in a geographical location, a physical door, but it is now found in a person. Jesus is the door. Verse 9, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus, we said last week, is the way, the passageway to salvation, the way to peace with God, the one who can give access to God and who can withhold it, because he is the only way to the Father. So the only way to the Father is through him, by means of him, what he has done for us. And so my main application last week was to call on you to make sure that you were entering by the door, putting your faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone, and that you were living each day actively by faith, trusting in him to guide you, to protect you, to provide for you. Jesus is the door for the sheep, for us. Now today we're coming back to look at a second aspect of this text where he tells us something more. Not only is he the door for the sheep, but this passage is telling us that he is the door to the sheep. To the sheep. And that is, Jesus is telling us here and speaking in the context of these verses that he alone has the rightful authority and the calling of the Father to exercise leadership over the sheep, over the people of God. He is Lord. He is King, head of the church, as our Book of Church Order puts it. The only King and head of the church. All others who serve in leadership roles in the church must do so under him. Or, as he says, they're considered to be thieves and robbers trying to steal the honor and glory due to him alone. In a sense, this passage, though we didn't mention it last week, is in the context of a rebuke. And the scriptures tell us that that's one of the functions they do. They rebuke us and call us back to the right way. And so we're going to sit today, as we look at this passage, under and in that rebuke for a moment to see what he's rebuking, to see what how it impacts us, see how it speaks to us. So to do that, the first point this morning, if you're on page 10 of the worship booklet, the first point of the sermon today is the context. We need to see why Jesus says this. It becomes clear as we read through this whole section that Jesus, when he speaks this point about him being the door, it's precisely spoken in the midst of a debate that is going on between himself and the religious leaders of his day, whom John will often call the Jews. He's not using that in a racial, in a sense of slandering a certain ethnic group. What he's often referring to the leadership of the people of Israel in that day and those who are being influenced by him when he says the Jews here in his gospel. And we're right in the midst of a debate between Jesus and those religious leaders about who has the authority and the right and the calling from God to lead the people of God. And it's in the midst of this competing competition of claims that Jesus makes this claim about himself that he is the door. So point one, the context of his claims, is to see this reason for these words, to address this challenge and this competing claim, his case for why he is the one that we must follow. Opposition to Jesus has been increasing by the religious leaders of their day throughout the gospel. As he's come into his public ministry, which is that period toward the end of his life. He's still a young man, but toward the end of his life, where he begins actively teaching after John's baptism, and he begins healing and doing these wondrous signs of who he is, speaking to who he is, teaching, preaching. The opposition to him is rising. Already in chapter 5 of this gospel, we find that the Jews, that is those religious leaders, are persecuting Jesus, language used there, persecuting him in chapter 5, verse 16. That is, they're zealously pursuing him with a malicious intent. They're trying to not receive him, but work against him and to stop his influence. In chapter 5, verse 18, they're seeking, we're told, to kill him. Chapter 6, verse 41, they're grumbling about him. Chapter 7, verse 1, they're seeking again to kill him. Chapter 7, verse 30, they're seeking to arrest him. Chapter 8, verse 52, they're accusing him of having a demon, not operating by the Spirit of God, but a demon at work in him. So that eventually in chapter 8, by verse 59, after he makes some claims of his pre-existence, remember that I am, Abraham knew me, they're picking up stones to throw at him. The Old Testament penalty for blasphemy. And this is what they're saying about Jesus, and this is how they're responding to Jesus. And in reply to that challenge against Jesus, that attack on him, he has been evaluating and getting more pointed in his description of his assessment of the spiritual leadership which they are currently under. John chapter 5, Jesus has said of these leaders and of those listening to him, I know that you do not have the love of God within you. He says in chapter 8, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. See this debate that's happening, that's going on, these claims, the challenge and counter-challenge. Chapter 8, verse 47, there he says, and the reason why you do not hear the words of God from him is that you are not of God. Chapter 9, right before our section. If you were blind, you would have no guilt, he says to them. But now you say you see, so your guilt remains. He's saying, as is summarized in two other Gospels, not in John, but in two other Gospels, he looks out at the people of Israel, the people of God in the Old Testament, and he looks at them and sees that they are like sheep without a shepherd. That's his assessment of the current religious leaders of the day. And it's in this context, with this growing opposition, but also this growing clarity of his assessment of their leadership, in the midst of this debate and challenge, that he speaks these words. When he says in verse 7 and 8, truly I say to you, I am the door to the sheep, of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. Not were, are thieves and robbers. It's continuing, present. This is Jesus' description of the Old Testament church leaders of his day. It's his rebuke. It's his explanation of why his disciples are continuing to follow him. The sheep did not listen to them, he says. It's why they continue to follow him, even though the church leaders of the day are rejecting him and trying to prevent others from following him. We just heard in the last chapter that they were throwing out of the synagogue those who confessed Jesus as the Christ. And these words are Jesus' explanation and description of what is going on. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But now, what is he saying? It sounds so comprehensive. What is he saying in these verses? Surely Jesus is not saying that no one before him, none before him, spoke what was true. Jesus is not saying here that he is the first and the only one ever to speak something spiritually beneficial to others or to provide healthy spiritual leadership. That's not his point here. We know that because he's already commended Moses in chapter 6. He's commended Abraham in chapter 8. He's even commended John, who came baptizing and baptized him. He commends John as a light in chapter 5. No, what Jesus is saying here, that all who came before me are thieves and robbers, in this context, what he is saying here is that with his coming, and with his ministry, now all those who claim to teach others about God and about spiritual things must find the source of their authority from him. Every word that is claimed to be from God, past or present, is to be evaluated by its interest in Jesus. If it doesn't point to him or acknowledge him, if it denies him and his place of priority in the kingdom and in the Father's house, then it is not from God, a word from God. If it denies him, it is not the Father's word. And those who bring it have no right to any place of leadership or voice in the church. Jesus is talking, you see, about access to the sheep. He has come because he loves his sheep too much to allow them to continue to be abused by the current leadership, to be led astray to be ruined by harmful shepherds. And so he will shut the door against them. To get to the sheep, they have to climb over some other way because they can't come through him. He will not allow them access to the sheep any longer because he will not give up his sheep to them. He has come to keep them safe. Now, some commentators have helped us to understand that this is an aspect of what Jesus is saying here, one of them being Matthew Henry. Maybe a lot of you know Matthew Henry. He was an old Puritan commentator. And I don't like to bring a lot of quotes into my sermon, but this I found this helpful, and I wanted to share it with you. Matthew Henry explains it this way. They, that is the religious leaders, condemned our Savior as a thief and robber because he did not come in by them as the door. That means he didn't come to them to get credentialed. He didn't come to them to get trained by them. He didn't come to them to go to their schools and get their approvals and their diplomas. And he didn't come to them to get their approval to be allowed to do this ministry. Instead, he shows that they ought to have received their commission from him, to have been admitted by him, to have come after him. And because they did not come after him, but stepped in before him, they were thieves and robbers. They would not come in as his disciples, and therefore were condemned as usurpers, and their pretended commissions vacated and superseded. And then Henry adds this, Matthew Henry's words still here. Note, rivals with Christ are robbers of his church, however they pretend to be shepherds. You see what he's saying? That Jesus is telling us here in this image that anyone who claims to point people to God or to have spiritual interest over others, if they do not recognize him, if they do not honor him, if they do not recognize his coming, his work, they are proven to be false teachers whose influence will only harm and destroy but can never give life. Because there is no blessing from God and there is no benefit in seeking God if it is done apart from the gospel. Jesus is claiming that every teaching that you hear, whether it's from this pulpit, whether it's from a book you're reading, whether it's from the internet, every teaching, every spiritual leader that you hear, every religion that has been, is to be judged by its acceptance or its rejection of him, of Jesus. For to fight against God, Jesus, is to oppose him, to slander him, to seek to lower his place, is to oppose God. That's what the scriptures tell us. That's what Jesus is saying as he says in the midst of this context with the claims of the religious leaders around him, I am the door. Everyone else is a thief and robber. Which brings me to point two for today's sermon. The second warning. Last week I said that the first warning of this text is a warning for the sheep. That all who would seek God, they must know that there's only one way to connect with God. One passageway through the barrier of our sin and shame. And that is through faith in Jesus Christ and his work. Through faith in him alone. So the warning last week was do not neglect this open door, but to enter by the door while there's time. For to neglect it is to give up any hope of entrance and of peace with God. That was last week's warning, the first warning of this text. But now today, a second warning from this text. And it is a warning for all who would seek to lead the people of God, whether it be our current leaders, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, and all of who would speak to others and exercise leadership in the church. Anyone who claimed to be in a place of religious or of spiritual influence over others, this is a warning for you. Since Jesus is the door, access to God is solely dependent on Him alone. So true spiritual leadership is only rightly exercised and is only beneficial when a leader serves under Christ and seeks to lead others to Christ, to God through faith in Him. Because, again, to oppose Jesus is to oppose God. Here's what's at stake. There's no beneficial relationship with God, no blessing from God apart from Jesus. We've seen that. But now the point is to suggest that there is another way, to teach that there are other paths, that there are other ways to find spiritual help and refreshment than in the gospel, is to become a thief and robber who actually is taking away, robbing the glory due to Christ alone. And this will only lead to judgment on false shepherds and ruination and death to those they influence. Which is to say that Jesus' claim means that any church and its leaders, or any other religion that denies Christ or seeks to find God's blessing apart from Christ, have become the enemy of Christ and will one day be judged by Christ and be found wanting. Even though some will gather great crowds and seem to have impressive results in their influence in the community, yet if they do not bring others to Christ and to His gospel, they are nothing but thieves and robbers. So here's the second warning of this passage to us. It's to our current church leaders and teachers. It's to all who would exercise spiritual leadership over others, maybe parents, maybe teachers in other places. Bring us to Jesus. Always to Jesus. Only to Jesus. Open up His Word. Show Him to us. Point us to Him. Because if you don't, you are fighting against Him and you will be of harm to the sheep, the people of God. So be careful in your teaching to bring us to Jesus. Which brings me to the third and last point for today. All of this is given to us in the passage. We've seen the context. We see the rebuke that Jesus is giving to the current leaders, which is a rebuke that we need to hear and orient ourselves to in our day. But I want you to notice that this whole word is given as a word to the church. It's point three, a word for the church. But the sheep did not listen to them, he says in verse 8. Now, that may talk a bit about the glory of the gospel, the work spirit that Jesus sends to the church and the perseverance of the true saints. But what I want you to see in this last section of verse 8, but the sheep did not listen to them, is that this passage, this image is calling on you. It's calling on us to beware of false shepherds and the danger that they can do among us. Those who look good and sound good, but do not have the interests of Christ in mind, and therefore do not have your good in mind. They are false leaders in the church, false teachers about the spiritual realm. And this word calls on us to guard our own hearts from such teaching and from such teachers, but especially to guard the offices of this church against such thieves and robbers. And so with that in mind, let me make two applications of this to us this morning. First, do not follow any spiritual leader or teacher who minimizes or rejects or ignores or downplays the work of Jesus Christ and your need for salvation through Him. Even if someone appears religious, devout, engaging, eminently spiritual. If they take you away from Christ and His Word, they are false and dangerous, deadly. For there simply is no helpful spiritual leadership except that which places itself under Christ and His oversight and brings you to Christ. Jesus' words remain true in verse 10 of them. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. So do not follow them. Second application. These are not brain surgery. We have some people here who can do that. This is simple application, right? Don't follow them. But now, secondly, do not put them into the leadership of this church. In our system, it's a glory of our system that the congregation elects its own leaders. The session judges the validity of their ability to stand, whether they can take the nomination or not, but you elect them. The session and the presbytery ordain them, but you elect them, and no one can be put in leadership over you that you don't want in leadership. So this is a word to you. Don't put into the leadership of this church anyone who claims to offer spiritual enlightenment or to insight into the things of God or interesting teaching or access to a higher level of living if they downplay and ignore or reject Jesus Christ and His Word. He tells us Himself how we as a church are to go into the world and make disciples. And what is it? It is to teach them, to baptize them in the triune name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which means to lead them to a confession of faith in the Father, Son, and Holy, the triune God, and what He has done in our salvation, to confess Christ. But then also what? To teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's the role of the church in the world. That's the role of your leaders, to help you to do that, to learn all that He has commanded. So let me speak plainly. What Jesus says to church leaders of His day who refused to honor Him remains true in this day. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Matthew 23:15. They're hard words, and the rebuke of this passage is a hard word, but it's necessary to hear. It was necessary in Jesus' day for the sheep to know how to go and what was true. And it's necessary to heed in our day, necessary to steer us rightly to the path of life as a church. Any church that departs from Christ is the sole pathway to God. And through faith in His atoning work of salvation, any church leader who refuses to submit to Christ's word as the truth from God is to that the truth of God to be upheld and to be cherished, to be lived, that word, to be devoted to that word. Anyone who refuses to do that, though claiming to do the will of God, and though claiming to want your good and to be a source of good in this world, Jesus is calling a thief and a robber who will bring about your death. And that's the very thing that's happening in many churches today. It's happening in churches that lean in both political directions, right? Both progressively oriented churches and conservatively oriented churches are doing the same thing in many places. Their leaders are urging them to pursue agendas that Jesus has not given them to pursue. And I'm telling you that today, this text is calling on us, my friends, to not let that be the case in this church. Do not fall prey to those false voices. For no matter how well loved in the community, no matter how many people come and join this church, no matter how much press and applause such a church receives, no matter how much good it appears to do, it will do no spiritual good if it tries to do it apart from Christ. So comes a word to you. Do not elect church leaders here who will allow this church to become a church where the gospel is neglected. Do not elect church leaders in this church where Jesus Christ is denied. Seems impossible, but it's the case in churches today. Christ being denied. Christ being opposed. Christ's word being ridiculed. Do not allow that here. Do not put into church leadership here anyone who will let this church give up its devotion to the teaching of the Word of God and the agenda of Scripture, which is to exalt and magnify Jesus Christ. It's not a new danger we face today. Over 400 years ago, a commentator wrote this, that the biggest danger facing the church is when the shepherds of the church fiercely resist the teaching of Christ. And this rebuke would lead us to hear, I'm not illustrating this today, I'm saying it as clearly as I can, I'm saying it as directly as I can, it is calling us to guard our hearts and to remain vigilant about who we listen to. Because there is only one path that leads to life, only one path that leads to spiritual blessing. I'm not saying this because I'm worried about our current leaders. I love them. They're great people who are serving you well. You've nominated some people that we're starting to train for deacon that will come up for vote next year, most likely. I have no concerns about them. They're great, and they will serve you well if you elect them. But we always need to keep this rebuke of Jesus to these leaders in mind as we think about who is leading us. And so as we conclude today, I want to ask you, who are you listening to? And are they leading you to Jesus? Or are they taking you away from Him? Keep vigilant. Follow church leaders who are themselves following Christ and who are submitting themselves to Him. That is the only way this church, our church, will continue to be a means of God's blessing in our community and in our world to His glory and honor. For Christ is the door, the only way to true life and God's blessing. So may we always be a people who point others to Him. As we come to Him, we point others to Him by His grace and mercy. Well, next week we're going to come back to this passage one final time, and Jesus talks about His own role now of bringing life abundantly. And we're going to look at the abundant life that He brings. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a hard word today, but it's important for us because it is so critical that we have leaders here who are leaders that You have appointed, that You have established, that You have sent under Your headship and authority to bring us to You, to be under shepherds, not to show us their own wisdom, not to do marvelous things on their own strength and power, but as servants of You, come to point us to You. Thank You for the leaders we have. Bless them in the service. May they never be such false shepherds, but be always true, always those who come to You, point the others to You. And Lord, in the days ahead, as this church continues to mature and grow and be established, we pray that we would always give ourselves vigilantly to this rebuke and to make sure we never follow after those who are thieves and robbers. Lord, we ask this in Your name and by Your grace, make it true as You love us, Your sheep. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.